إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونسترشده ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون أما بعد أيها الإخوة الكرام يقول ربنا جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد ما كان للمشركين أن يعمروا مساجد الله شاهدين على أنفسهم بالكفر أولئك حبطت أعمالهم وفي النار هم خالدون إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين وقد قال نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث صحيح رواه الإمام البخاري في صحيحه سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله فذكر من هؤلاء السبعة ورجل قلبه معلق بالمساجد. Indeed, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sustainer, and the regulator of all that happens in the universe. Thus we praise Him and we thank Him for His blessings and His grace. We believe in Him and we put our trust in Him. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil inclinations of ourselves and also from the evil of our actions. Whoever chooses guidance, there is none to misguide him. But he who chooses misguidance, there is none to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. He is one and He has no partner. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the servant and messenger of Allah, whom Allah sent with the religion of truth and with guidance, so that this truth and this guidance will become established in the land over all other religions and ways of life, although the idolaters detest that. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we all know very well that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the messenger of Allah, after many years of struggle, eventually was successful in establishing perhaps the most successful community and society ever among humankind. At the very least, we know that he was successful in establishing the best Muslim community and society in the entire history of Islam. And there are many factors why he was able to do so. Most of us obviously would think that because by virtue of the fact that he was the messenger of Allah, what else would we expect? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear to us that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is a role model and an example for us. So whatever he did and whatever he achieved, it is an example and a role model for you and I, meaning that it is possible for us to come close to, if not equal, that effort of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba. But one of the most important factors, one of the most important ways in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was successful in establishing that community was that he got the community involved in the mission. The community, the people, the Sahaba were very much part and parcel of the community of Medina. Without them, there was no community, there was no success. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam engaged them in the community. In the only way that you and I will ever be able to nurture a community, not just individuals who happen to be Muslims living near each other, and we come to the masjid every now and then for salah, and we attend a few programs, that's not community. The only way you and I will achieve that community, that would be similar to that established by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that would be similar to many Muslim communities that existed for centuries after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is if you and I become engaged in that community. If we become members of that community. If we look at the community as our responsibility. And this is one of the things that we badly lack these days, brothers and sisters. There are many Islamic centers, and yet we find that there are very few people who volunteer their time and their effort and their energy to help out. And sometimes we look at the work in the Islamic center, in the masjid, as something that is not worth our time. We have become misers with our time. We have become misers with our time. In fact, many of us may even misspend this extra time that we have. Doing what? We all know how addicted many people are today to the internet, to television, and to all these other electronic gadgets. So we spend hours upon hours of our lives engaged and absorbed in our own self-interest, and we have no time to give to the community. And then we expect the few brothers and sisters who, mashallah, are working very hard, making tremendous sacrifices, to do everything. And when something is not done to our expectations, we criticize. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he migrated to Medina, before he arrived in Medina itself, he spent 1 week in a place called Quba. And in that 1 week that he spent there, he built a masjid. We all know it as Masjid Quba. And we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah makes reference to this masjid. لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ. Indeed, the masjid that is built from the very inception on piety from Allah, that is the one that deserves more that you should stand therein and pray. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in building this masjid, did not just hire experts to do it. He got the companions themselves involved in the project. And what's more, even he, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he may not be an engineer or a building expert, but he was there foot to foot with the Sahaba, doing what? Just giving orders? You do this and you do that. Hey, we need some guys over here. No. كَانَ يَحْمِلُ التُّرَابِ. He was carrying the dirt like the rest of the companions. And they thought that this was too menial a job for him, the messenger of Allah. And when they tried to tell him he shouldn't be doing this, he refused. But to continue helping them carrying the dirt. When he eventually, a week later, left Quba and came to Medina, the very first thing he also did in Medina was to build his masjid. Al-Masjid al-Nabawi as we know it today. And mashallah, we travel to Saudi Arabia, we go for Hajj and for Umrah, and we visit Medina, and we spend days in Medina simply praying in the Haram al-Nabawi, in the Prophet's masjid. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he built that masjid, he got the community involved in the project. The people came out to do whatever they could. And again, from scratch, with very little resources, they built the masjid. And because the people were involved in all of this, they became attached to the masjid. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us in this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. There are seven types of people whom Allah the Exalted will shade on the Day of Judgment. On the day when there is no shade, Allah will shade these seven people or seven types of people under His shade. On the day when there will be no shade except His shade. And He mentions from among the seven types, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. A person whose heart is attached to the mosque. A person whose heart is attached to the masjid. How can our hearts, brothers and sisters, be attached to anything if we do not spend time, as we say these days, quality time with that something? That's how we become attached to everything else that we're attached to. We have spent a lot of time. We spend very little time at the masjid, whether it is attending programs, classes, or helping out for whatever work there is to be done. And this is why our hearts are not attached to the masjid. But this is precisely what needs to happen. This is our wajib, brothers and sisters. This is our obligation. It is not enough that we simply pray five times a day and that we fast in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah At-Tawbah. And in these two ayats, He outlines the obligation of the building, maintaining, and the visiting of the masajid. Whose responsibility is it? Allah says, مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ. It is not fitting for the disbelievers, the idolaters, that they should build and maintain and visit the masajid of Allah, while at the same time they bear witnesses against themselves of disbelief and shirk. Because the masjid is for the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is built to establish and reinforce the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we come to the masjid to pray, to reinforce that concepts in our own hearts and minds. Allah says it's not fitting for them. It is not up to them to do this. People who themselves bear witness against themselves in terms of their disbelief that they have. أُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Those disbelievers, their deeds and actions are useless in this world. وَفِي النَّارِ هُمْ خَالِدُونَ. And in the fire, they will abide forever. Then Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Indeed, the obligation of doing imaratul masjid, because this is a word that is used in the ayah, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Allah did not say that it is the duty of those who believe in Allah and the last day to build a masjid. He uses the word ya'mur. Imaratul masjid means building the masjid, maintaining the masjid, and visiting the masjid, coming there, being present there. Because amara ya'muru literally means to come alive, to be alive. In this place, any masjid would not come alive in spite of how huge a building we have and how beautiful a structure we have. It will never come alive unless you and I make it come alive with our presence here. And that's what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did. He got the Sahabas involved, and they were willing to share their time in the masjid. And so in the end, their hearts became attached to the masjid. When you and I have spare time, where do we head to? Many of us head to the malls or to our computers. But the Sahaba, of course, they didn't have malls and computers in those days. They would head to the masjid. That's where they used to hang out. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. They would simply go to the masjid and chill, as we say. Their hearts were attached to the masjid. Even when there was no work to do, they were there. They were there in the masjid. To the point where there is a section behind the Prophet's house in his masjid. Well, in those days, it used to be outside of the masjid, in which the very poor people used to gather. And that area became well known for the poor people who would gather there. And every time anyone came with any sadaqah to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, looking for someone to give something in charity to, the Prophet would direct them to go to the area behind his house. You will find someone there who is a poor person. You give it to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, brothers and sisters, that indeed it is the duty to build, to maintain, and to visit the masajid of Allah. It's the duty of those who believe in Allah. Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir. Those who believe in Allah on the last day. Wa aqama as-salah, and they establish prayers. Wa ata az-zakah, and they pay their zakah. Wa lam yakhsha illa Allah, and they are not afraid of anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The understanding or the implication or one of the implications of this verse, brothers and sisters, is that the person who does not truly believe in Allah nor the last day and who is not serious about establishing prayers, not only praying five times a day but praying properly and in paying their zakat, and the person who is truly not afraid of anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these people will not frequent the masjid. They will not see that it is their obligation not only to help to build, but to help to take care and to visit the masjid, to be present in the masjid. And this is why we find that in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the masjid was always a crowded place. The masjid was always a crowded place. The Sahabas, especially when they heard about anything happening, they would crowd. They would come in large numbers. But when they looked at the masjid, they did so through the eyes of the person who recognizes that he has an obligation, not a choice. We all, mashallah, would like a nice place to pray in. And we would like a nice place to pray Salat al-Taraweeh in Ramadan. And we would like a facility that inshallah can accommodate and cater to some, if not all, of the needs of our youth. We all like such a place. But it's not going to happen by itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many verses in the Quran talks about الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who struggle with their wealth and their persons in the way of Allah. Those who struggle. And jihad here is not limited to war only. It certainly comprises of war, but it's much wider than that. الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who struggle, whatever form the struggle is, in the way of Allah though, with their wealth and their persons. In other words, you and I are there to do the work. We not only donate and expect that the few people, the board of directors, will take care of things. And when we show up there in Ramadan, we, alhamdulillah, we have an excellent reception, or we get an excellent reception. No. We show up there with our persons as well to do the work. So it is very sad, brothers and sisters, when from time to time we find that only a few brothers and sisters in an Islamic center, of all places in an Islamic center, because whatever we do, it is for the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what can be better for an individual than to serve the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Al-Imam al-Bukhari tells us in a hadith in his Sahih about a lady who used to sweep the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And she passed away in the night time. And the Sahaba did not want to disturb the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they quietly performed the ghusl and salatul janazah for her, and they buried her in Al-Baqir. But a few days after that, a few days went by, and the Prophet alayhi salam realized that he is not seeing this lady who would take some of her time to what? To clean the masjid, to sweep the masjid. He asked about her. And then he was informed that she passed away. And he said to the Sahaba, imagine the Messenger of Allah, a person just sweeping the masjid. He said, why didn't you guys inform me? And they said, O Messenger of Allah, she died in the night. We didn't want to disturb you. So we performed the janazah and we buried her. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not personally satisfied with that. He went to her grave in Al-Baqir. And he stood up there and he personally performed salatul janazah for a person who was sweeping the masjid, a lady to boot. So it's time, brothers and sisters, that you and I reevaluate the relationship we have with the masjid, with the house of Allah. It is time you and I look at the connection we have with the masjid. I should ask myself, is my heart attached to the masjid? Or is it attached elsewhere? We all know the virtues, brothers and sisters, of doing good. But in particular, in doing good in the service of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am sure we are well aware of many of the ayats and the ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that encourage us to do good in general. But more so when it comes to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to reevaluate our connection and our relationship with the masjid and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to ask ourselves, are we helping to build, to maintain, and to visit that masjid or that Islamic center? Because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the obligation He placed on the shoulders of those who believe in Allah in the last day, establish prayers, pay the zakah, and are not afraid of anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ Allah says, these people who believe in Allah on the last day, and they establish prayers, and they pay their zakah, and they are afraid of none but Allah, who shoulder that responsibility of building, maintaining, and visiting the Islamic centers and the masajid, فَعَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ Perhaps these are the ones who are on true guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. May He open up our hearts and our minds so that we can understand His message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us and motivate us not only to learn about this message, but more importantly, to live by this message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up our hearts and minds so that all of us can give a little bit more of our time to the Islamic centers and the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the good that we do, and may He forgive for us and overlook for us our mistakes and our shortcomings. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الله. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, it is sad that we find it difficult to get enough volunteers to do work in the masjid. But it's very easy to get volunteers to do other things. Bearing in mind that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us in a hadith that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari relates from Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, Man bana lillahi masjidan, bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. Whoever builds a masjid, or helps the effort in building a masjid and maintaining a masjid for the sake of Allah, then Allah will build for that person a house in paradise. What more can we possibly want, brothers and sisters? We all would like to go to Jannah. And not only getting into paradise, but we would all love to have mansions and palaces in Jannah. And here is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam showing us the way how to achieve that. So let us re-evaluate and examine our relationship with the masajid, with the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us re-evaluate the connection and the bond we have with the Islamic Center. Let us look at our commitment to the community at large, to the Muslim community in particular. And let us realize that whatever we give, generosity is not only about finances. That is at the top of the list, of course. But we can also be generous with our time and our knowledge and our skills that we have. So it is indeed very sad that during the very work that the Prophet has told us will take us to paradise, we seem reluctant to do, yet we want paradise. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us, and may He reward all of us with paradise, and may He forgive for us our mistakes, and may He protect us from the actions and the deeds and the lifestyles that will take us to the hellfire. Let us also send peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah, for Allah has commanded us to do so in the Quran when He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بمنك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وانصر عبادك الموحدين اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين والمحاصرين والمضطهدين والمجاهدين في القدس وفي فلسطين اللهم أفرغ عليهم صبرا وثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على القوم الكافرين اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا واجعلهم هداة مهتدين لا ضالين ولا مضلين اللهم اشف مرضى المسلمين اللهم رب الناس اذهب البأس اشفي انت الشافي اشفي انت الشافي اشفي انت الشافي لا شفاء الا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما اللهم اغفر لجميع موتى المسلمين الذين شهدوا لك بالوحدانية ولنبيك بالرسالة وماتوا على ذلك اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وعافهم واعف عنهم وأكرم نزلهم ووسع مدخلهم واغسلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقهم من الذنوب والخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس اللهم ارحمنا إذا صرنا إلى ما صاروا إليه اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب دعوات وقوموا إلى صلاتكم.